Here are the WGXC headlines for Friday, March 24th. The U.S. House failed March 23rd to override President Joe Biden's first veto of a Republican-led bill that would have banned the consideration of environmental, social, or governance issues in retirement and other investment decisions. Water containing a radioactive material has leaked for a second time from a nuclear plant near Minneapolis, and the plant will be shut down, but there is no danger to the public, the plant's owners claimed on March 23rd. Attempted book bans and restrictions at schools and public libraries continue to surge, setting a record in 2022, according to a new report from the American Library Association released March 23rd. More than 1,200 challenges to books were compiled by the association in 2022, nearly double the then record total from 2021, and by far the most since the American Library Association began keeping data 20 years ago. Democrats are urging the state legislature and Governor Kathy Hochul to favor a budget that contains affordable housing measures, including one that mandates local communities build it. But local Republican Assemblyperson Chris Tague, who represents Greene County, is among a Republican contingent railing against the mandated housing proposal. Greene County counted absentee ballots in village elections on March 23rd, and David Schneider beat incumbent Tannersville Mayor Lee McGunnickle by just 2 votes. And in Athens, incumbent Joshua Lipsman beat challenger Anthony Proper by 9 votes to win the second open trustee seat there. In Hudson, weekend alternative side parking rules are suspended as of March 25th.
This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we've got a busy WGXC Morning Show for you today with lots going on, newspaper sales and more. We're going to hear from Karen Schomer about the proposal for development in Philmont and what it means to local Eagles and how the local newspaper got everything wrong in their story that seems to need a retraction. I don't know. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and more. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you. Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Leah Bertucci of Ridgewood, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, March 24th. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about these stories. Columbia Green Media reports that the company that owns the Daily Mail and Register Star newspapers is selling them to another similar small regional newspaper group. Johnson Newspaper Corporation announced March 22nd plans to sell the two newspapers and the website HudsonValley360.com to the Daily Gazette Holding Company. The two newspapers and the website make up the largest media organization in the center of the WGXC listening area. It is a family sale between the Johnsons and the Lynns. The Johnson family-owned Johnson Newspaper Corporation also publishes the Waterton Daily Times, Courier Observer, St. Lawrence Plain Dealer, and Ogdensburg Journal newspapers based in Watertown. The Daily Gazette Holding Company buying the local papers is owned by the Lind family and publishes the Daily Gazette in Schenectady, the Gloversville Leader Herald, and the Amsterdam Recorder newspapers. The Register Star claims to be the nation's second oldest daily newspaper and began publishing in 1785, while the Daily Mail claims to be the eighth oldest newspaper and first published in 1792. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that in addition to taking rooms out of the long-term housing market, short-term renters in Ulster County are not all great about paying their taxes. Ulster County Comptroller March Gallagher says they've been researching the number of local rentals and said, quote, "We compare those against our registrations, and lo and behold, there is a significant number of properties. 948 non-compliant short-term rentals were identified. 852 of those had rented within the last year, and 58% of those had rented within the last 60 days, unquote. Airbnb has a system to collect room tax and remits it to the Ulster County government, but other short-term rental companies do not have similar systems in place. Gallagher estimates Ulster County lost between $65,000 and $1 million last year from missing rental taxes. So far, the county has spent about $38,000 to begin to track that money down. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that New York's unemployment rate did not change in February, staying at 4.2%. The State Department of Labor said on March 23rd. The private sector added 21,200 jobs, but New York's unemployment rate is worse than the national rate at 3.6%. New York's labor force participation rate is still below pre-pandemic levels. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We do not trust TikTok will ever embrace American values. Values for freedom, human rights, and innovation.
Republican Representative Kathy Rogers of Washington says the popular video sharing app TikTok should be banned in the U.S. TikTok CEO Shou Chu appeared before Congress Thursday, defending his company against bipartisan concerns that the app is a threat to national security.
The bottom line is this: American data stored on American soil by an American company overseen by American personnel.
Lawmakers are concerned that TikTok's owner, Beijing-based ByteDance, is providing Americans' user data to the Chinese government. Several lawmakers grilled Chu over concerns about teenagers' social media use and mental health. President Joe Biden marked the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act at the White House on Thursday, calling it one of the most consequential pieces of health care legislation since the creation of Medicare and Medicaid in 1965.
And while the Affordable Care Act has been called a lot of things, Obamacare is the most fitting description. Obamacare.
Biden said Republicans voted some 50 times to repeal or weaken the law in its first 5 years and are backing plans to do it again. Members of the House Pro-Choice Caucus have introduced legislation aimed at repealing the Helms Act, which prohibits U.S. foreign aid from supporting abortion services and counseling. Representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts says the policy is rooted in racism and imperialism.
Abortion care is health care and a global human right.
Repealing the Helms Act would lead to 17,000 fewer maternal deaths each year, according to the Guttmacher Institute. Attempts to ban or restrict books more than doubled last year, with more than 1,200 challenges documented by the American Library Association. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds says groups such as Moms for Liberty are empowering parents to defend their rights.
They came after our kids, but they sure didn't plan for the moms.
Bills aiming to restrict books have been proposed or passed in several states. Librarians have reported threats of violence or legal action. The California Senate has approved a first-of-its-kind price-gouging bill that would penalize oil companies. Supporters say it would increase transparency of gas pricing and move the state closer to using clean, renewable energy. The Arizona Supreme Court has revived a claim by former Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake challenging signature verification procedures on early ballots in Maricopa County. The court sent the claim back to a trial court to reconsider. While most election deniers around the country conceded after losing their races in last year's midterm elections, Lake has not. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 29 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 40 degrees. Winds will make it cold today, but make sure to still layer up because they calm down this afternoon and we get a high of 50 degrees at 4 p.m. Overnight, we drop to 33 degrees. Watch it, up in the hills, you're probably going to drop below freezing. Early on Saturday, some snow will fall, then turn to rain by 11 a.m. And that's the rest of the day. Quarter inch of rain is expected, and we see a high of 40 degrees at sunset. Rain continues till midnight. The clouds holding in the heat, letting us hit 41 degrees overnight. Sunday, windy but not gusty. Keep on layering up as you head out into a 55 degree afternoon. Still shouldn't quite reach freezing overnight into Monday, which might see some afternoon rain and a high of 50 degrees. I see some boats starting to show up on the river. Yeah, so let's dip our toe into the water with today's only low tide occurring at 12:20 p.m. Remember, these are consistent readings based on astronomical charts. Factors like winds, rain, discharge, and some storm surges can alter the timing quite significantly, so be sure to plan for some deviation. Today's river temperature will be 40.8 degrees. Today's tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:57 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:48 a.m. Looking way up, we see a lot of geomagnetic activities going on. Early this morning, some long-range radio channels straight up closed. So I'll just tell you right now, today is not the day for it. However, chances of pretty lights are. The KP index is at 7.67, putting us within the range of the aurora oval. Now, if the clouds would just cooperate, we could have a good time. Solar wind speed is currently 410.3 kilometers per second at 18.2 protons per milliliter. The current sunspot number is 73, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station. We'll be right back.
everybody else, but they're out of reach. I said right out of reach. I could ignore.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Tom. So how are you, Karen? Schumer from the
Schomer,
Lake Needs
Schomer.
A Schomer from the Lake Needs a Lawyer.
She's not related to
Hi
Chuck
there.
Schumer.
Schumer. Hey, well.
You got
I'm
screwed.
Okay.
No,
oh,
I mean,
no, Tom.
No, their plant, their meeting.
Let her tell it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I thank you so much for allowing me to come on here and
pleasure.
Speak the truth. Because
truth to power.
The Register Star has a typo on their front page today.
Ooh. What is it?
So it should say bald eagles not protected under proposal.
Ooh. Oh, right. It says
but
bald eagles protected.
It says bald eagles protected under proposal. So, yeah, I'm back to talk about the Philmont development war.
Well, it's a worthy topic. Let me tell you something before you start, though. After, what, 6-7 years doing this stuff politically, locally, I don't count on the Register to ever get it right, okay? So, but I know you're more, you know, you're concerned. It's an important story. They all tend to be, but especially the headlines. The headlines, and I know who writes them. And sometimes I think you don't even read the stories carefully.
Well, thank you for a little bit of bit of wisdom over here about
just
the
consolation
reality.
Or,
yeah. So
is that a consolation to say that somebody doesn't fully vet the newspaper, the front page? I don't see that as consolation.
You got a point there. That's right.
Damn shame is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
But and I also go ahead. But they quoted the worst people possible in this article. It was
the other side.
Not the other side. The wrong side.
The other side.
Oh yeah, the other side.
Well, they just quoted the developer going on endlessly saying whatever he wants.
Right.
And where do I start?
What are the questions you would have expected to be asked and answered instead of what was done?
So the Philmont Planning Board, here's the headline.
Let's give everybody the full.
The Philmont Planning Board met on Monday night and had a public hearing on the subject of the woods. It was not a chance for the developer and Summit Lake Conservation Group to face off against one another. It was a legally required public hearing open to the whole community.
Which they had skipped in the last round of
they
stuff.
They didn't skip it, but they did it before the whole thing was complete.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so, and here's my headline. It was a beautiful night. And and the planning board, not only like, I mean, the town just, it was like stars fell on Philmont. It was just like glitter, glow. It was this beautiful night where one person after another stood up and made thoughtful, articulate, and community-minded objections to this development, which is wildly unpopular in Philmont, okay?
Let's go back a step, though. Wildly. Remind everybody what the development is.
Okay, so Philmont has a public lake, a reservoir called Summit Lake that was formed when they, like over 150 years ago, they dammed the Agawamic Creek. They formed this lake. They powered all the mills. The town grew. The town kind of collapsed when the mills left. And on the south side of this hill is woods. And there's a nature trail. And so you can walk along the north side. There's a road with a few houses, and you get to see this beautiful hill. It's a view shed. You know, it's like when you look at the hill with Olana, you're looking at a view shed. And it's an astoundingly rich, biodiverse environment. And there's like hundreds of native plants. There's almost 100 species of birds. There's all this research that's been done that shows that this is a ecologically rich, beautiful area. So one thing that's going on there is bald eagles, and they're there all the time. And now this developer bought a piece of land which is in fact zoned for housing. So they bought this 22-acre piece of land right in the heart of this hillside. There's a narrow, like, public conservation buffer along the lake. But right beyond that is 22 acres, and it's most of this hillside. And they want to put in this luxury housing development. And it's going to be 16 houses that are going to be priced at, like, $750,000 and up. And they have submitted a plan which results in the deforestation of somewhere between 50 to 80% of the trees on this hillside. It depends.
They've already started cutting, from my record. I talked to someone who lives like right on that little strip with one of those few houses, and he says every morning he wakes up to, you know.
Well, they better not be, because that's like...
They're cutting already.
They better not be. So there's like a number of public objections. So one public objection is that what they say is to minimize tree cutting is that they have this one-way 12-foot road that goes through this development. And if you think about it, 12 feet.
Very narrow.
Not very big, nope. Right? Like, that's like a driveway.
They should be trying to find a different avenue to get in.
So that this the first thing is that there's a lot of concern about if you have an emergency in there, if you have a fire in there.
Right.
And God help you. I mean, this came up at the planning board meeting. Active shooter. What happens? You end up having a lot of vehicles, and you potentially put people's lives in jeopardy because there isn't the access that you need to an area that's under an emergency. And
I don't think the fire department for checking on that too, no?
They have to. They're supposed to.
Yeah.
The fire chief did sign off over a year ago saying, looks okay to me. However, we think that it's really that the fire chief isn't allowed to override state code. I mean, there's state code. There's like a code for how wide a road is so that we don't all end up fried to a crisp.
Oh, and they're very strict here in Hudson. Greg Haig, who's our code enforcement officer, also was the fire chief at one point. So he is extra careful about that kind of thing. I'd love to hear his opinion of this.
I would love to hear it, too.
Because, you know, if you're if it's a one-way road, it needs a proper turnaround.
That.
And
loop. All 12-foot, narrow, steep. It goes up and down. It just sounds like a really bad idea.
The article in the Register today made it seem like it had been approved almost and gave a lot of space to the developer and one or two people in the community who were in favor of it. They mentioned a couple of the people speaking on behalf of the Eagles, but not much. And, of course, that one person said exactly, to quote myself, what I thought they would say, it increases the tax base.
Yeah.
That's what they all want.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that's what the people who are pro. So let's get down to brass tacks. There's no economic impact statement that's been prepared about this development.
Interesting.
So it's all vague in the air. Oh, sure. Next thing is that there are these like covenants.
Covenants.
Yeah. That was unclear in the article. The developer is willing to enter into covenants? Was that the?
The developer has written up a series of covenants. It's like a, 16 or 20 points or whatever. Mm-hmm. And these covenants say things like, get this. So if you're not supposed to tear down more than like, you can tear down 100% of the small trees on your lot. Mm-hmm. But large trees, you only get to take down 50%. And so $1 million house, above a lake, Catskills views, you tear down trees, guess who's supposed to enforce it?
The developer themselves?
No.
Who?
The village of Philmont.
Oh.
The village.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So
how would that go over?
Yeah.
That's no oversight.
Yeah. So then it becomes a cost.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then you're talking about cost.
Sure.
Permits.
Legal? Oh, you're going to sue?
What are the penalties?
Oh, you're going to pay $100 a month per tree that you pull down until you plant a sapling that's going to take 110 years to grow. You know, this whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And these covenants often are really just ways of buying yourself out of the problem.
That's right. And they shove the problem onto the
municipality.
Right. Instead of these wealthy people who, like Philmont, not a wealthy town.
No.
It seems like the people that are in power got there and the people that voted for them didn't do a conscience check because moral values are, sparing at this point.
Well, I would say that ironic to the article in the Register Star today, it was a very moving meeting in which people, again, like a volunteer firefighter spoke out. He said, why are you pinning this totally unsafe road on our overstrapped volunteer fire chief and putting this on him? And so something happens down the road and the town gets slapped with a lawsuit. And this poor guy who's like a lifetime public servant has his neck on the line for what he did.
Exactly.
It's all about like private wealth at the expense of this community. And then the bald eagle thing. So at the last meeting, not the public hearing, the town lawyer, Rob Fitzsimmons, we talked about him. We were like, hey, yo, there's like bald eagles there. And he was like, if they're there. So we compiled a lot of data about the bald eagles. We got the Allen DeVoe Bird Club involved. By the way,
we got the Sierra Club involved.
That's heavy.
Heavy they are behind us 100%.
Cool.
And so now we've got all this documentation that bald eagles are hunting, raising young, and likely nesting, if not on that property, very close by. And hello, it's a crime. You can't disturb bald eagles because there's all kinds of laws in place to protect them.
This has to come up in the seeker process, right?
So,
what?
It's so complicated. So she's like out. She's over there. She's just like, I can't take it. So the village, the planning board issued what's called a negative declaration under CECRA. That says there are no environmental impacts.
That can't be real.
Yeah, how could they do that?
Can't be real. I've seen them scrutinize the solar panels out there and go into extra, read all about it, details.
I know.
Totally.
I'm surprised they didn't have to go to they will have to go to DEC if there's this bald eagle thing.
Have you guys called DEC?
Well, apparently Andrew Personette from Clover Reach and Claverack Builders thinks his plan to deforest a hillside is a proposal that protects bald eagles. That's what the Register says today.
It did say that.
My development, there is nothing in his proposal. Those words are not even in his proposal. He's just picking up on the fact that we're nailing him on that topic act like, so the bald eagles, we're going to get out a message to them. We're going to say, look, your trees over here are okay. Yeah. So you stay on those trees, and our trees that we're just tearing down these trees over here. So don't be disturbed or bothered by what we're doing.
Has your group contacted the DEC? Or any group?
I believe one member of our group has been trying.
Basil Seagos, he's the guy.
Basil Seagos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Write that in your notes.
Basil.
He's the head. I remember.
He's the guy.
Okay.
And I'm almost positive that when you do a seeker, that question comes up. And
it's a whole manifesto, that seeker.
Yeah, I know. It's a complex document.
It's like 20 questions on you.
Right.
Well, I think
and somebody's lying on that form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you foil it?
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've got it. I think we have a copy of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's in their stuff on the Philmont Planning Board website.
They're trying to ram it through without proper
exactly. And so, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to just be putting you guys to sleep over here. So last weekend I spent all weekend canvassing around Philmont because I'm like a pretty friendly person actually, and I really do I like talk. Anyway, our group has almost 100 signatures of people who just want a full environmental review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's our lake. We love it. We care about it. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. We all love looking at bald eagles. Everybody does. It's a beautiful thing. It lifts your spirits. They're like flying over the lake. Mm-hmm. Don't mess them up. And people know that it's like jive.
Yeah,
it's jive to say that you can build this without doing any survey at all, any environmental diligence at all.
No, I can't see how they're going to get away with that.
Well, you know, this has always been something that's happened in a lot of areas where people are for sale. I hate to say it. I don't know what the sale price is for most folks these days, what the going rate is, but clearly somebody's for sale.
I guess.
How else are you motivated to do this thing?
You just think development is a great thing for everybody. And again, the bottom line for your taxes, some people obsess over taxes.
Sometimes the tax cap goes up because of all that.
That's right.
That's true.
And like when I was talking to people, like people who rent in Philmont, they know this is bad for them.
Yeah, sure, damn right it is.
They know that bringing in $1 million houses,
what that's
gonna
do?
Is going to put raise more. That's the last thing we need in this poor situation in this beautiful county that we're in.
The thing I keep noticing in real estate is that one fancy thing gets sold at a high price, all the lemmings follow and raise their prices regardless if they need to do that or not, you know?
Yeah.
And someone pointed out to me once, his rental went up and he asked his landlord, why are you raising it? You know, there's no, everything's the same. And he said, well, inflation. He said, but your mortgage isn't subject to inflation. Your mortgage is the same as it always was.
It's taxes. There's property taxes.
Well,
in
if
there.
The, and the property taxes hadn't gone up either, so it's just a BS explanation.
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be
that. That other people are getting it.
Yeah. That's right.
Hi, Poppy.
Who's that? A little shout out to your man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Say hi to Luis.
Hi, Luis.
Hi, Luis.
Your wife, look at that.
Your wife is mad at me today.
I'm not mad at you.
Okay. But we'll talk about that off the air. Anyway.
Anyway, thanks for letting me yak about it.
Yeah, no,
it
keep
was
going.
Just like,
it's
it was
just
like,
incredible. We got to motivate the other film
well,
on people
I,
who aren't
I had
upset
the
yet.
Feeling after our planning board, like, we were all like, oh, my God, that was so great.
We were,
like,
we
would, yeah, like, we
that's
were,
what they wanted you to
yeah,
have.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That exactly
sudden,
what
like,
they wanted you to
like,
have.
Oh, let's just lie.
Yeah. believe me, that's another technique that I've learned is that when you have a difficult topic, let everybody speak, because then they feel like they've actually gotten somewhere. And then
this is speaking from experience.
I know.
Yeah.
It is. And then, and I mean, because you got to listen to both sides, but you still
yeah.
do what you want to do anyway. That's
yeah.
the problem.
My goodness.
You know, I didn't say I do that. But it is, don't shut up people, because then they really get infuriated. But
yeah.
you see that you were kind of, oh, sort of mollified?
They were euphoric.
Yeah.
They walked out like kumbaya, like, hey, man.
We did.
We
did.
Woo! Great sesh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not over.
And even the people who were kind of pro were kind of like, well, there's no harm in doing it and, like, answering our questions.
There you go.
Yeah, like, do a full environmental. But that's, like, what's, and, like, so say the planning board doesn't ask for that, then we sue them again.
Right.
Yep. Then we got legal fees.
Right.
The town has legal fees.
I know. That's what's
the developer has legal fees.
Well, who cares about
just
that?
Do it.
Right.
Just like save like
just
tens
that
of
can...
thousands
right.
of dollars
right.
for every just do the
right.
environmental impact.
Right.
So what could they do that now? When is the next meeting? Tell us all that.
So the planning board I believe will be meeting in April. I think it's the third Tuesday of the month.
You would think with something like this that they would have a few more meetings. I got to tell you, Hudson has put me in a mind state that if you want something to happen, you make it happen. I've been on tourism boards. I've seen Common Council. They come together more than they have to get something done.
I got a special meeting tonight.
See? And they'll do what it takes to get people and get things done. I don't understand why.
Our planning board at one point was having meetings like it seemed like twice a week at one point.
Why not?
There's so much going on. You can't make people wait forever.
Once a month? That's absurd.
To on behalf of developers, you know, they're not all like this. Some of them just like, what's taking so long? You know, let's like, they've gone through all these processes and it's just, hey, it's just next month we'll see. Next month we'll have the...
By the time you turn around, it's a six months, it's a half a year gone by.
Right. So there's an argument both ways, but skipping important...
No.
Things
that's
like
a
no-no. Just a no-no.
Well, I think it is, I think we've got plenty of, you know, moral and emotional and legal ground for another lawsuit and
ethical,
like,
right? Because we're not, humans aren't the only ones that count in this world.
It costs money,
that's
but
right.
I know. And you still have your group raising funds for the possible lawsuits,
we
right?
do.
What's
we
it called
do.
Again?
We're called The Lake Needs a Lawyer.
TheLakeNeedsALawyer.com?
It's on GiveButter.
GiveButter.
GiveButter is like a fundraising platform. And
so
it's,
no GoFundMe, huh? Nice.
It's
is it a lesser fee?
Different.
Yeah.
It's more oriented toward like
things like this.
Like, yeah. So
GiveButter.com.
GiveButter and then / Summit Lake.
Oh, okay.
And we also have a website, summitlakeconservation.com.
How long has the Summit Lake had a .com?
We launched it in January.
So I guess my question is, you know, because clearly this is not the only town that it's happened to. And more you're seeing that places that have been sleepy and quiet for a long time are now becoming electrified with awakeningness of all kinds of things, right?
Correct, because there's so much development going up in this county.
The whole town, the whole county, the whole area is pregnant with work. But the question is...
Are you?
No.
Thank God. We don't need an eighth. You know she has seven kids, right?
Well, I heard about one last time had done really well in school that day. It was, like, very exciting. He brought home a good grade or
just
something.
Just an interesting choice of words on your part, that's all.
Unbelievable.
Sorry.
So
okay,
with that
pregnant.
Being said, it behooves towns and villages to really look at what signifies the heart of a place, and protect it.
Oh yes,
like get on board, do the work, get it protected, get it taken care of, so that no matter what comes down the pike, it's secure. Because I know you guys at one point tried to do that. You tried to buy the land.
There were attempts to buy the land.
And that was, you guys were thwarted.
Yeah.
And then it was sold from under you for cheaper than they were trying to sell it to you for.
Right.
That pissed me off.
The price came down and down and down from when the last developer went out, because I guess it came down and down. Like 2015, it was $275 and down to, and they finally bought it for like $175 or something.
You mean to tell me the Village of Fillmore did not have $170? Like, come on.
That's what CLC and groups like that do. You know, they buy it and then put it in a conservancy, a trust for a long time.
Yeah.
Forever,
all of that. Yeah. And a conservation easement.
Oh, yeah.
And
there
then
you go.
You get the tax write-off.
You get
write-off.
The tax write-off. Exactly.
You get
the town benefits.
I think Cloverleaf could be heroes.
Columbia Land Conservancy structures those deals.
Yes.
You know, you donate, you buy it, you donate it to them, and you get the tax write-off and blah, blah, blah. Goes
like you compare what it's worth with the housing on it versus what it's worth
off
as a natural space.
Right.
And that's your tax.
Right.
Yeah. But I had some other. I was going to say that I love what you say about the heart of a community, because that's our tagline, is that like the heart of Philmont, like protect the heart of Philmont.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. It's just, you know, Columbia County is, as has been said here, pregnant. And there's so much going on, and so much is like, you got to manage this development. You can't just say, hey, we're doing great, come on in, take over, put in these monster plans for the one you were involved with, Sheila, looking for the glamping thing that was insane.
Yeah,
where was that?
That was in Claverack.
Oh, go away, get away?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still talking about it right now.
Oh, like, I thought it was dead.
It's not dead, because here's what happened is a campsite, there's different things that preserve and allow campsites to exist, right? But if the language isn't there to put restrictions and guardrails on it, this is how people like that get in.
Yeah.
So at the last meeting that we had, Common Council meeting in Claverack, a citizen asked if there was any way we could put some language in to really like flesh out and like speak to exactly what a campsite is, what we want it to be, how it should look, and not leave it with this all this vagueness. Because the vagueness is how you get people coming in, perpetrators coming in,
right,
you know, starting firefight, forest fires, leaving trash, like
sewage,
all kinds of things,
like showers and toilets.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you know.
And you'd think Hudson, being more of a city, and you know, having sewer treatment, I mean, a sewer system and everything, it's even more delicate how you develop here, because there's so little left. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to give something over to some huge project that changes the nature of the city, you know, contributes.
Has nefarious intentions.
Right, exactly. It's just you got to be
careful. Don't you have a lot of building going on over there on the north side?
There were like 8 hotels coming here.
That's an exaggeration.
That sounds like a lot.
There's 4 impossible developments.
Jesus.
4. There'll be a moratorium if 3 of them get through. I think 1 is not going to happen. But
is it all on the north side?
No, it's all over.
It's all over.
It's south, Warren Street, north. So there's 3 different ones.
So that would bring the population of hotels to what count?
Oh, I don't know, because you got the existing ones plus that. You got
that's what I'm saying.
The Wick, the St. Charles.
Rivertown.
Barlow.
The Whaler.
Whale of a time.
Yeah, Whale of a time. Yeah. And then you got all the little micro B&Bs all over, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then what happens is you have all this, and the tourism sort of diminishes, and you're stuck with these empty buildings, you know, and they'll start crying poverty and everything and want more. So you got to manage this stuff carefully.
Manage it carefully.
Yeah.
I mean, Philmont, everybody wants housing for the people who live there.
Right. That's what we're trying to.
You know,
I mean, the
there's
city.
Like infill. There's like vacant land. There's like houses that are condemned, empty.
Well, there should be a land bank that could come in and take those vacant lands and make them affordable.
You know, well, exactly. And you know that the county claims to be working on this issue, and Philmont is prime for it.
I wish.
They started a project, a housing. They hired somebody, the county. Mm-hmm. Housing director.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Just like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
The question is now, will they come through with actually doing something? And you got to figure out which communities will really, you know, step up to the plate.
Albany did that. Massive land bank.
Yeah.
It touched I don't know how many towns. Yeah. And they're almost at the end of it now. I think they have maybe less than 10 vacant lands, and they started off with over 150.
Wow.
Vacant lands, houses. Some houses were as cheap as $1,000.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And you got, you know, and then a lot of it involves state money. And, you know, Hochul says, you know, we have a housing crisis. She wants to get more funds for it. Well, she better, because we need it. We have some good projects in the works here in Hudson, but they can't all get the funding is only given out periodically. Hmm. So they're in competition for this funding, and that makes it hard.
Huh.
They should have more funding at each round, you know what I mean, so that a community can get more than just one project approved and
so
financed.
Can I read something to you guys?
Sure, sure.
This was something that I found that was this was about this development issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is from a planning board meeting a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ooh.
In Philmont.
Tantalizing.
In Philmont. So Eileen Ordu, who's one of the Summit Lake Conservation Group members, mm-hmm. says, happy to hear it will be 125 feet from the lake. That's the distance that their property is from the lake. However, this is the meeting notes, so it doesn't sound like actual language. Mm-hmm. However, think lots of trees will be taken down. Was economic survey done or can be done? What will it cost the village to maintain? What tax base will there be for the village? A balloon test was asked for. So then the engineer, this is a year ago, mm-hmm. May 2022, the engineer for the developer replies, a balloon test wasn't done as you couldn't see it anyway. And then Sophie Wedd, another person who's been working with us, mm-hmm. says, concerns about wildlife impact. What value does it add for affordable housing? How would the village police tree removal? Doesn't fee subdivision layout map gives any real information? Well, that was got a little garbled. What is the economic benefit to the community? Okay, Andrew Personette of Clover mm-hmm. Reach responds, those are all good questions.
All good.
And I don't really have answers.
Amazing.
Boom!
Amazing, boom. Right?
Boom. Boom! One year ago, same song and dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Same song and dance. We've been asking these questions for a year, and we get zero.
So when did you get to have a vote of no confidence in some of these people that are sitting on
you
these?
Don't really.
Well,
I think there should
hope
be something.
This board comes through. I have a tiny grain of faith that our board is going to come through
mm-hmm.
and vote this down mm-hmm. because risks to firefighters, economic, passing off all these costs onto a poor village, basically,
mm-hmm.
and the wildlife, the loss of this like beautiful natural resource that is at risk.
Yeah.
That. So I want to say right now that I believe in our planning board, despite all evidence of the past being contrary, and I hope they're going
to
come through for
us. One of the major planning board issues that's been before the Hudson Planning Board for now almost 6-7 years,
mm-hmm.
they still haven't gotten an answer to one of their most important questions without going into it. But, you know, it's the Colarusso thing, and they just have this one question that the applicant has never answered. So that
keeps it all in limbo,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. It has. It has. The planning board won't make a decision until they get their answer, I think. I don't know.
Hmm.
So it's kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting.
You need a planning board with guts.
Guts.
You know what I mean?
You do.
Your guts.
Well, I do believe that I think at least they heard us
mm-hmm.
on Monday night because it was very powerful in Kumbaya. And I do think they heard that the community is against this.
Right. And you're going to be seeing them in the streets, not Anthony, whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah, because he's going to build his houses and take off
right,
and
exactly.
take that money elsewhere
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Raymond Pignon reports in Columbia Green Media that State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli said March 22nd that the village of Coxsackie is under, and I quote, moderate fiscal stress, end quote. Coxsackie was the only local municipality under stress, according to DiNapoli. Coxsackie Village Mayor Mark Evans played down his warning, saying, and I quote, a moderate score, given the economic conditions we have at this time, is not a bad thing. The state comptroller's calculations to get these scores are out of our control, and I'd love to see it better, but I'm comfortable with what I've received, end quote. DiNapoli said the end of federal pandemic relief was causing stress in some of the towns and villages in New York. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Michael Ryan reports in the Mountain Eagle that in Jewett in Greene County, the town board last week approved a six-month moratorium on new solar-powered projects while they reconsider their current solar laws. Town Supervisor Greg Groyer said Jewett will, and I quote, reconsider our current solar law and very possibly draft a new law that addresses all aspects of larger solar farms. Currently, we don't allow anything that is not small scale. We don't want large solar farms, period. But we believe that might not fly if we got challenged. Everything is so solar focused. Now, with the state, they might overturn our local jurisdiction, end quote. The town planning board will write the revisions, and Croyer said, and I quote, they have had a couple of subdivision applications that have required a lot of attention. They are working off templates from a couple of other towns to prepare a final draft, and they aren't quite ready, end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that the Massachusetts Attorney General's office has ruled that in 2022, the Barrington Select Board violated the state's open meeting laws, working beyond public view on the town's proposed short-term rental bylaw. Assistant Attorney General Elizabeth Carnes Flynn said in a March 14th letter that the board had essentially created a subcommittee when Board Chair Stephen Bannon and Vice Chair Lee Davis met with Christopher Rimbold, Assistant Town Manager and Director of Planning, to work on the short-term rental rules. Flynn said, and I quote, although the board did not take a formal vote and did not use the word subcommittee, the board discussed at length having two members work with Rimbold, end quote. All board votes and rulings remain in place, but the board must now create minutes for the meeting of the three officials. And Flynn said if they did it again, it would, and I quote, be considered evidence of intent to violate the law, end quote. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Friday, March 24th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Caro has gas at $3.35 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 30. That is considered low on Friday. The UV index is a 5, considered moderate on Friday. The water temperature in the Hudson River is a little bit above 41 degrees, and on average over the last 10 years on March 24th, the water temperature has been averaged above 39 degrees, so we're about 2 degrees above normal in the water temperature in the Hudson River. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a cloudy Friday with a high of 44 and a northwest wind 9 to 16 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Friday night, the forecast is also for cloudy skies with a low around 30 a northwest wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. Then Saturday, there is rain, snow, and sleet in the forecast before 2 p.m. Then it should be all rain after that, with a high forecast around 36 on Saturday. Saturday night, rain and sleet is forecast, becoming all rain after 7 p.m. with a low of 36 and a southeast wind 10 to 17 miles per hour after midnight. Sunday should be mostly sunny, with a high of 48 and a low around 31. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.